I think that's quite a career limiting move if people know that you're a taker, and people can generally spot this type of snake quite easily.
But nothing really happens, and they keep on asking, they drain your energy, and they're not really contributing to your network.
These people that are charming can easily be fake. They build up this fake loyalty because they're smiling, happy, high-fiving you all the time.
And they're part of your circle. But being part of your circle doesn't automatically make them someone that you can trust with a lot of information.
Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolf and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers. You're at the right place. Today, Rudolf and I are talking about snakes in the network and survive those toxic connections that can really get us down. How's it, Rudolf? Great to chat to you again. Rudolf, there seems to be no warning sign when a snake joins your professional network. Do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. I think myself as a human always expect the best of someone. So I always look at them with this idyllic way of looking at this person is perfect, and then wait for them to disappoint you almost. And unfortunately, that's exactly when you get bitten. So there's no use going through that two or three times. And I think the lesson to be learned is that even though things might sound smart and they might look like it's all good and well and perfect, the reality is, from our experience, we should be able to pick up that something's off. And as I tell a lot of people at the Right Place Pretoria gatherings that we have every month, is there's no trust relationship just because you're in the same space and in the same network. If you believe or if you feel that something is off, it probably is. And you need to trust your instincts on that. And I think you wouldn't know that if you didn't go through that type of experience in the past. So yeah, there's nothing that I can tell you that says there's definitely something wrong, but I can only tell you that you need to trust your instincts.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. So a few weeks back, I went for a walk with Judy at Mirandol Wine Farm. I saw this interesting sign that said caution snakes. Been here in the northern suburbs, in the winelands, the Cape cobras are plentiful, especially in the summer. Luckily, in the winter, I think they're all hibernating. So I took a selfie with the sign. I thought, oh, maybe I can write something cool. Ended up writing a post on LinkedIn. Got a ton of comments and feedback and even some DMs on it, talking about snakes in your network. And now, Rudolf, you and I, we've dealt with snakes in our own professional networks. Today, we're not really going to name and shame. But it seems it's a lot more common than we thought. What types of snakes in your network have you seen previously?
Yeah, John, I think the most obvious one is one that you've been talking about since last year when we started the podcast, and that is be a giver, not a taker. And I think the taking snake, I don't know what to call it because they all feel like they take from you, but the snake that is a taker is quite an obvious one in that they only know you when they need something from you. They never give you value. They never celebrate you. They never want to work with you. They just need information from you, or they need a connection from you. And then you never hear from them again. And I recall an example of you telling me last year over the podcast as well, where you actually said that this guy that you haven't heard of for 3 or 4 years suddenly messages you and says, listen, can I have this person's contact name? I see you've been connected on LinkedIn for a few years. And yeah, that's not the way to go about it. So I think the taker is probably the most obvious type of snake that you can have in your network. And they're rather easy to spot in that they disappear and only reappear when they need something from you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've written quite a number of posts about takers. I even had one about the Undertaker himself from the wrestling world. You don't want to be a taker. You don't want to be labeled as a taker. I think that's quite a career limiting move if people know that you're a taker, and people can generally spot this type of snake quite easily. But we'll get into a bit more detail on that shortly. The next type of snake are the sly and sneaky ones. These are the snakes in your network or even in your business or your company that undermine you. So they smile at you in meetings, they're friendly with you, but behind the scenes, they are stabbing you in the back. They're questioning your credibility. They're questioning your wisdom or your knowledge. And they can really do a lot of damage to you because you don't see it. They're not doing it in front of your face. They're behind the scenes. They're spreading rumors, or they're starting rumors even. And these people are not your friends. And they might be very fake. They might be very friendly in meetings or at events, but they haven't got your best interests at heart. And unfortunately, they can do a lot of damage. And you might not even know this is happening, but certain things might happen, or you hear stuff and you're like, where's this actually coming from? So there could be, as they say in Afrikaans, a slang in die gras. There could be a snake in the grass who's nipping at your heels, and you just can't see it, and they're doing a lot of damage to you.
Yeah, I think, John, the problem with that one is that you only realize it when it's too late. You wouldn't know it. And I think that is the difficulty. As you said, they're sly. You can't figure it out until it's already almost too late, or until it's happened. And hopefully then we'd be able to stop it in its tracks by not engaging further. But it can be rather difficult as well. But yeah, probably the more difficult one to identify overall. I think another one is the thieves part. And I've got two or three examples on that myself. But some people are just there to listen you out and to take information and then almost borrow your idea and use it for themselves. So instead of collaborating with you or helping you with your idea, building it out, they take it and they go and pitch it as their own and use that information to build their own little empire from it. And I think the bad part of it is obviously that it stops your idea completely, but also it breaks the trust relationship completely. So you'll never be able to work with them going forward. And I think, again, too late when it happened. But also something that you will only see, or it'll only happen to you once with that person. And then hopefully that would then stop. The negative part of it is that someone would not be an expert in something and take from your expertise and just go and do their own thing and potentially mess up the market a little bit in that space. So a very difficult one. But yeah, I see a lot of that happening these days, especially in the AI space, where people just copy what others did. Because it's so easy these days to keep on building new things.
Yes, 100%. I've seen this as well, even in the consulting space, where you pitch an idea in a meeting or something, and people dismiss it or say it's not going to work. And literally a month later, they've done it. And they've made a success out of it. And you're like, what on earth is going on? That was my idea. And everyone shot it down. And now suddenly it's the be all and end all, and this is amazing, and look how cool this person is. And the thing is, you can't really go and make a big fuss about it. You're going to look quite silly sometimes, unfortunately. So you've got to learn who you share information with, and who's getting the best of you, because they can use it against you quite easily. And talking about people using stuff against you, another one that is similar to what we've discussed already is a proper saboteur. Like someone who sabotages you, causes doubt, starts rumors, and really goes out of their way to make your life difficult. And sometimes this person starts off quite sneaky, but then it becomes quite obvious. They don't stand up for you. They don't invite you to certain things where you should have been. And they start protecting themselves by hurting you. And they're almost out to get you. And maybe something's gone wrong in a business relationship or a deal, or you've rubbed each other the wrong way, or you had a bit of a shouting match in a meeting. But these people can really take it to heart to make your life miserable. Yeah, that's just not a lucky place to be in.
Yeah, I think, John, the last one that I want to maybe chat about is the dead weight, where people just drag you down. They're in your network. You're busy with them every now and then, but nothing really happens. And they keep on asking, they drain your energy, and they're not really contributing to your network. And I think an example from my side is I've got quite a few people that I regularly engage with, but one specific is where I pitch quite a few ideas to a specific person that I know, and I try and engage and try and build something with them. And then later on, I realize that this person is either too busy or not interested at all. And the way I figured out what's going on here is they always say yes. They always say yes to the idea. They're always in, but they never really move forward. And unfortunately, by that time, I've wasted so much time preparing and packaging stuff and getting it ready just to stop at the final hurdle or at a hurdle at least and not moving forward with the idea. Whereas if the person told me outright no, I could have prevented going down this rabbit hole and just driving the process forward the whole time. So I think the dead weight one is more a matter of me wasting my time and energy on something that's never going to happen. But this person's just there, always willing, always engaging, but never really moving forward.
Yeah, when I thought of this one, I thought of like a big, fat, lazy boa constrictor. They honestly just slow you down. They're in your way. They curb your enthusiasm. They're not adding any energy or value to you. Sometimes you need to almost climb over them or just ignore them, just let them be. But I mean, it's difficult to navigate because, like you said, we approach people with the best intentions. We come in across in a genuine and authentic way as far as possible, and we are hoping that the other person in front of us has got also our best intentions. They want to do the right thing. But it's not always like that. And have you got a bit more of a detailed example that you can share of a snake in your network? Like maybe how it's originated and then what you ended up doing about it.
Sure, John, it's one of those questions where you need to tread lightly, yeah. You never know, the person might sit here listening to us. But I think in my case, as with my previous example, is I've built relationships with a number of people. Obviously, being a bit older, we engage a lot of people. And I find that I am rather good at identifying potential ideas and also to work through or navigate the scoping and the packaging of something. I once did this whole packaging of a very cool product that we believed could be revolutionary in terms of how we take part in certain events. And I went through the whole process, did a lot of procurement work, did a lot of standardizing legal work with different environments. And unfortunately, one big dependency was that we need to have a meeting with a rather large company in South Africa. And the person who was part of this process, unfortunately, couldn't get that meeting done. And I don't know if it was through a lack of trying or just couldn't get the meeting through. And after spending quite a bit of time, a lot of time, and unfortunately also a bit of money, we never moved anywhere. And the thing is still sitting on the shelf. Maybe I'll reach out to a few more people on it. But the big problem for me is that I realized in there that a simple yes from someone else is good. Yes is always a nice go ahead, but what I need to do better in the next process or project on a similar thing is to get the person to do some of the work from the start and not to drive the process myself, maybe to a large extent, and then just hope for the other person to help with one or two things. But if you spread the weight, then you can early on see that this other person is in or not. And I think that's one of the decisions I've made when engaging again, is that the weight needs to be balanced out here. Otherwise, you're going to carry the whole weight and the other person's just in there for the ride. Do you have something, John?
Yeah, so my example is probably from about 10, 15 years ago, when I was in the consulting world, and I met an individual through a good person in my network, and we started chatting, and he ended up doing some work for someone that I was working with and did really good work. But then he properly latched onto me, and we would have like a coffee meetup or a lunch, and then the questions would start bombarding me with questions about this person and that person and this project and that. It felt sometimes like an interrogation. And it took me probably one or two of these meetings to realize that this guy is literally just mining my network. And he had no interest in me at all. He couldn't care less about my story, my journey, anything like that. And I eventually just had to start ignoring him. I just had to like pull the plug. I'm not going to respond to your messages. I'm not going to answer your phone calls, because I've seen enough red lights here. And I bumped into him then subsequently like 6 months later, and I thought he was going to be major upset with me or anything. But then he rattled off some of these things that he'd managed to get off the ground by almost going around me and talking to other people that I knew. So he, after I stopped ignoring him, he went on to other people that he'd probably met or seen that I knew on the periphery and started probably doing the same thing with them. And I was honestly quite shocked. I was like, my word. And obviously back then, I didn't know as much about networking or connecting the dots as I do now. But that was a big wake-up call. Like, you really need to have your brain switched on when you're dealing with certain people. And if anything is off, the smallest little thing can be a cue to really identifying, is this person a snake? Are they having an off day? Is this how they actually are? And I think that's what we want to talk about next is, like, if we see certain behaviors, what are maybe a couple of strategies that we can look at to protect ourselves? Because you need to protect yourself. You need to protect your reputation. You need to protect who you associate with in your networks. And what I wrote there on the LinkedIn post a couple of weeks back was the obvious one, which is once bitten, twice shy, which is also the lyric of that famous George Michael song. I think it's Last Christmas. That everybody knows that line from. The definition there is that experience is your best teacher. If someone has shown you something or bitten you hard or stabbed you in the back, that is a massive warning sign. You don't need to go through that again. So don't just ignore it. And yes, sometimes we need to give people the benefit of the doubt, but we can't ignore these red flags. Past pain isn't just trauma. It's also intelligence. It's also information. It's also, I've seen this before. The last time I was talking to this person, this happened, and then subsequently this happened. So I need to be well aware of what's going down. So we need to listen to our instincts. We need to trust what we have seen in the situation, and maybe sometimes just take a step back, especially if the conversation is going really fast and this person is badgering you for information or contacts or something like that. Just slow down a little bit. Think about it or move on to somebody else. I really think that is probably your best protection.
Yeah, very good, John. I think it's also rather easy in that if you get hurt by someone, you would automatically back down a little bit and be a lot more wary. But it's always damaging to the relationship. It's damaging to a lot of things. So it's rather difficult. So I think the important part is to be very aware of what's going on here and to try and identify from your own experiences, maybe from someone else, that there are similarities here. And I think that is probably the only way to defend yourself, is to try and see what happened in other relationships that are looking similar and to deduct what's going to happen from this one onwards. But yeah, if it happens with the same person over and over, by the third time, it's probably me and not the other person's fault, because I'm engaging again and I'm going down the same path. So rather back down. I think another one, John, is to listen with intention. We all know this saying, don't listen to respond, but rather listen to understand. And I think that is very important here. So we need to pay attention to how people how they speak, and not just to what they say, but also how they speak, the intention of what they're trying to say. Yeah. And I think an important thing for me is always, if someone talks bad about other people the whole time, they're probably talking bad about you as well in other conversations. So it's very important to distinguish that there's nothing special in this relationship that the person might not do with one or two other ones. So if they do it in front of you, they're probably doing it behind your back as well. So yeah, get around that charm or the politeness and the friendly face and the smiles and stuff, and try and see how they react in different scenarios, and not just the physical words that come out. Are they generous to other people? Are they opportunistic? Are they passive aggressive or self-serving even? So a lot of those things can show you the character of the person rather than the actual words. And I had a colleague at some stage that always spoke about all the pink and fluffy things. So all those coloring in around the picture. So try and identify what the characteristics are. So I think an important thing to ask yourself is to try and understand, what is this person not saying? So not just the words that they are speaking, but what are they not actually saying to you? And if it wasn't useful, would they still want to talk to you? If I'm not a useful person to them, are they going to block me out? Am I going to be part of their network still if I cannot add value in a specific instance, or are they just going to carry on without me? So I think the listening part is more about the intention of the person than the words.
Yeah, I love this one. This one is super important. You've got to listen. But like, listen to understand like what is going on here. And if something pops up, like someone says something dodgy, or someone says something that just triggers a memory or a moment that you've seen with them, then pay attention to that. Oftentimes we can daydream a little bit, or we look out the window and we miss that warning sign that was super obvious because we weren't listening. And I really think this one is critical. So like, definitely one and two, I think, are your big ones. Once bitten, twice shy, and then listen intently, especially if you don't know the person as well as you should. Oftentimes we assume we know this person. Oh, he's also a CA, or he's also in marketing like me. Okay, we're on the same page. No, he's a completely different human being. You don't necessarily know their background or the intentions or the pressure that they under to make certain things happen. So listening can really get you out of a jam or prevent chaos down the line. The next one that I want to put out there in terms of protecting yourself is loyalty trumps charm every day. So charming people can win you over very fast. They're an extrovert, they've got great stories, they invite you to stuff, but that charm will be tested in the quiet, tough, and those unsexy moments. And you need to understand that these people that are charming can easily be fake. They build up this fake loyalty because they're smiling, happy, high-fiving you all the time. But how do they behave when the cameras aren't on? And what are their actual motives? Because it's fine to be charming, it's fine to be a really nice person to hang out with, but if you're on this charm offensive the whole time, that can also be a warning sign. You need to actually look out for these people that they're always the super cool guy, but they might be undermining you. They might be stabbing you in the back. They might be staying a bit longer in the meeting and telling everybody what an idiot you are, just to elevate themselves, just to present that they are God's gift to the team or the project or something like that. And I think the warning here is charisma is not a substitute for character. You want to dial in on the person's character. Their charm offensive, their charisma, if it's natural, that's awesome. And they're a great person to hang out with. But look for signs that it could be a little bit fake.
Yeah, very good, John. I find myself sometimes talking especially in the more consulting work in the public sector that I do every season for a few months, I do joke around with the people, and it's part of the, yeah, just lightening up the mood. You know, we all know that finance is rather boring. So it's the way I go about my business. And I sometimes have to sit back and think to myself, am I being honest here? Cause it's not really this very, hyperactive, friendly environments. It's people that are really not enjoying their jobs, and I go a bit overboard, and then I have to pull it back. I get good results with it, but I sometimes feel like I'm not really honest with myself in that. And I think it's an important thing to note, in that being charming or this charisma, as you say, doesn't necessarily talk about the hard facts behind it. So if you draw that parallel, the facts are the facts, the finances are there, the transactions, the things that we have to do is still there. And to lighten up the mood doesn't really take away that problem. So we need to be very sure that we understand people in the same way. I think another one, John, that I want to touch on is not to confuse access with trust. And access, I specifically want to talk about your network. So that where someone has the ability to get close to you doesn't mean that they can be trusted. Some people are very good at, I like the term, sliding into your DMs and just starting a conversation. But then you might believe that you can work with this person or you can trust them. But in reality, that is their marketing angle, and it might show nothing of their character or who they are. So one thing that we must know is that proximity is not equal to loyalty. Getting close to someone doesn't mean that you can trust them, that they are loyal. And we run a lot of events. If you invite people to the events and they pitch up, it's a good start because it shows that they're curious, that they're interested in what you do, and that they want to learn with you. And build this path with you. And they're part of your circle. But being part of your circle doesn't automatically make them someone that you can trust with a lot of information about your personal lives and your work environment and so on. So I think the important thing to know is that you need to give them a little bit of information over a longer period of time and not rush it, but to test them slowly and to try and see how they react in that and to see what their character is. And I think a good tactic to follow is to give trust in layers. Shrek comes to mind now is where they say that is like an onion. So peel down those layers and get to the core of it. But don't just give them all the information at once, because the fact that they could get to you doesn't mean that they can be trusted with that information or with your IP or with your contacts even. Because you have to protect the people that are in your network as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this one is learned over time, and you're probably going to get it wrong a few times. But as you get older and wiser and more experienced, you need to watch for warning signs here. You don't owe anybody anything when you meet them. You can be friendly, you can be kind, but you don't have to lay all your cards out on the table, open up your entire network to this person. Relationships are built over time. If this person really values you, they should build a relationship with you. If you appreciate them and you see value in them, then it's going to work both ways. But if they just dive in and they want to start like mining your contacts and who you know and your business associates and that, I mean, that's a massive warning sign, and you should properly avoid them at all costs. The last one is a useful one because I don't think people do it enough. And that is to ask other people for a second opinion. If you've seen something, if you've been triggered by something, ask somebody else, hey, I spoke to this person. I got a bit of a vibe what he said bothered me. Have you encountered this person? Have you spoken to them? Do you know anything about their background? Do you know what's going on in their life? And I don't think we do this enough. We try and go it alone, or we wait to try and figure it out ourselves. And then life kind of passes you by. But if something bothers you, I think say something. Even if you just send a quick WhatsApp or a voice note, say, hey, I just met with this person. It was cool, but there was one thing that bothered me. Just put it out there. And maybe the other person can reaffirm that. Then you know, okay, cool. My warning sign was correct. Or if they say, no, don't worry about it, I know what's going on with this person, or they're going through a tough time, just give them the benefit of the doubt, and then they can allay your fears and you can be okay with it. I really think this is something that we need to do more of. And I think it's if you've got those trusted people in your network, then lean on them. Lean on them and ask them, hey, what's going on with this person? I think all of these five remedies or these five tactics to protect yourself, you're probably going to be using them in different situations, not all at once, but you'll be probably in different combinations of these. And I think this is stuff that we need to take on as our armor to protect ourselves, protect our reputation, protect your position in your network, protect your network from snakes as well. You don't want to have dealt with a snake and he still manages to get into your network and harm some of your friends or your trusted colleagues. So I think we can all do better at this, and hopefully we can repel the snakes and they can go to Snake Island and sort themselves out there.
Yeah, I think one thing, John, that you've noted, and I'm reminded of your LinkedIn post again, is that we need to have this anti-venom, this way to identify the snake. Because remember, you need different anti-venom for different types of snakes. So I almost see it in the same way, in that ask the right questions to identify the correct snake. And if we're able to do that, I think we'll be much better off, because we only realize it's a snake when it's already bitten us, when it's too late. And if we can have things in place to prevent us from getting bitten, all the better for all of us. So I think, very interesting conversation. I think if it's really something that bothers you, that people go behind your back in different things, go and read the book, go and get educated on it, because it doesn't help us to go through the same trauma every time over and over. We're making a bit of fun maybe on the topic, but the reality is there's a lot of narcissists out there, and they're probably at the top of the business. So we need to be able to identify and know how we treat different situations in that.
Yes, I think the book is called Snakes in Suits. I think there were a couple of people that recommended it. I didn't find it yet in South Africa. Yeah, but take it as a warning and just be vigilant. We can easily let our guard down because, like I said, we assume the other person in front of us is friendly, they're smiling, they've got the same qualification as us, so we must be on the same page. But just have that professional skepticism, as we learned as junior CAs. Just be wary. And if the person proves themselves, if you've got other feedback from people in your network, this is a great guy to know, or I'm so glad you met them, I've always admired them as well. That's good feedback as well. And then you can let your guard down a bit more, you can open up a bit more, you can have maybe some deeper conversations. But don't collect red lights, don't collect snakes in your network. Really, really take this to heart. Yeah, I hope the listeners will learn a lot from this. Would be cool to get some more feedback on this and hear some more examples of snakes in the workplace and in your network. Rudolf, thanks a lot, man. It was a great chat.
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate it. I think such a relevant topic, and looking forward to people's feedback on it. While you're at it, you can like this post or this video, subscribe to our channel, and you'll get all the notifications for the following ones as well. Thanks, John.
Awesome, Rudolf. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time at the right place.